Good morning and welcome to Brookside Baptist Church. Thank you for joining with us today. Even though we might be apart, we are still united. We're united in our desire to seek to understand God, His character, and wrestle with what it means to live a life that follows after Him. I want to thank Richard and Jim for filling in over the past few weeks as I've had a chance to have a little mini break. It was great to be able to go traveling, to go from the bedroom to the lounge room with a layover in the kitchen. Boy, were there layovers in the kitchen. And when we meet again, I'll gladly show you all the pictures I took during this break. But seriously, I want to thank you for all your prayer and support over the past few weeks. In Philippians 4:6, we find this: have no anxiety at all, but in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, make your requests known to God. I was meditating on that verse, and I came across a reflective prayer. It was released by a hospital called Mercy Hospital and one of their staff, Alex Garvey. And it goes like this: loving God, we arise today to face the challenges on the road ahead. It's clear that our current situation needs us to be steadfast and persistent in our response to COVID-19, as this is a marathon, not a sprint. Be with us now, O Lord. Loving Father, during your ministry on earth, your sign was the healing you shared with us, and your promise to take away our anxieties, the symbol of your eternal presence. Be present with your people who suffer. Allow them to feel your healing touch through the compassionate care of doctors, nurses, and caregivers. Remove any fear, feelings of anxiousness, or uncertainty from our hearts. Let us trust you, protect our friends, family, and co-workers, and bring your peace to all who are with us. Give us your grace, O Lord, so we can speak calmly, clearly, and truthfully with each other. Let us see one another as you see us. May truth, empathy, and kindness remain our steadfast rock. Give families and homes patience and compassion for each other. Be with worn-out parents and give them your love so they may speak words of kindness and encouragement to their children. Be with us all, O Lord. Let us sanitize more and pray more. Let us be kinder than we have to in this adversity. Let us speak warmer than we need to in this duress. Let us act more compassionately than we should do with others. And let us start and end each day on our knees, enwrapped with your lovingness. Let us pray and petition. Let us give thanks and make our requests known. Be with us now, O Lord, we ask. Amen. This is a challenging time. And as always, if you are in any need, we encourage you to contact myself, any member of the PST, or the church office. We're here to help. So we come to a time of worship. And I don't know if you're aware of this, but everything in our service is an act of worship. Even online, we still have the chance to worship. We could worship in our prayers. We could worship God in our reflections. And those times where we do get to sing from the comfort of our own lounge room, or any time we pick up the Bible and read it, it's all designed to worship and show our devotion and love for our God. That's what worship is. It's about taking our minds and centering them on God. So let me ask you a question. How do you center yourself on God? May I encourage you to pause this video and drop a comment below. Leave a comment and let people know how you center your mind on God. Maybe there is one particular song that you play that really pulls you into God's presence. Maybe it's that early morning cuppa where you take time and deliberately stop and think about God. We need to take our attitude of worship and understand that it involves more than just simply singing. We need to take our worship and know that it is what we speak about God. We need to take our worship and take moments to just simply listen. And we need to take our worship and understand that it's also seen in what we do. We're going to continue in worship right now. I'm going to invite Gwen to come and read Psalm 139 for us. Thank you, Gwen.
Psalm 139. You have searched me, Lord, and you know me. You know when I sit and when I rise. You perceive my thoughts from afar. You discern my going out and my lying down. You are familiar with all my ways. Before a word is on my tongue, you, Lord, know it completely. You hem me in behind and before, and you lay your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me, too lofty for me to attain. Where can I go from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? If I go up to the heavens, you are there. If I make my bed in the depths, you are there. If I rise on the wings of the dawn, if I settle on the far side of the sea, even there your hand will guide me, your right hand will hold me fast. If I say, surely the darkness will hide me and the light become night around me, even the darkness will not be dark to you. The night will shine like the day, for darkness is as light to you. For you created my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know that full well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in the secret place, when I was woven together in the depths of the earth. Your eyes saw my unformed body. All the days ordained for me were written in your book before one of them came to be. How precious to me are your thoughts, God. How vast is the sum of them. Were I to count them, they would outnumber the grains of sand. When I awake, I am still with you. If only you, God, would slay the wicked. Away from me, you who are bloodthirsty. They speak of you with evil intent. Your adversaries misuse your name. Do I not hate those who hate you, Lord, and abhor those who are in rebellion against you? I have nothing but hatred for them. I count them my enemies. Search me, God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. See if there is any offensive way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. Amen.
Thank you, Gwen. We're going to continue with the time of prayer. And I would like to invite Barbara to come and lead us.
Please join with me in prayer. Dear God, we thank you for all that you give us. We thank you, God, for our country. We thank you for our freedom. We thank you for our leaders. We thank you for our science. We thank you for our medicine. We thank you for our church. God, we pray for the situation in Afghanistan. Only you know the answer. God, only you know what people need. Help us, God, to know what we can do. Help us to act justly and to love mercy and to walk humbly with you, O God. We pray, God, that people who need to get out will get out safely. We pray for people who are in danger that you'll help them find a way to stay safe. God, we pray for the people in Afghanistan. We pray that you will help them. We pray that you will protect them. We pray that you will make a way for peace to reign. Father God, we pray for Haiti. We pray for the people there that you might comfort them. We thank you for teams who are on the ground working to help people and find people. God, we pray for the people of Haiti. We pray for safety, we pray for strength, and we pray for your help. God, we pray for the coronavirus situation in this world, in this country, in this state, and in this region. God, we pray that you'll keep us safe. We pray that you'll help us to be respectful, to be kind, to be caring. We thank you for the things that you've given us, like soap and sanitizer and social distancing and mask wearing and medicines and vaccines. God, we thank you for the way our health system operates, that people who are sick can get help. And we just pray, God, for your hand to be over this. We pray for students as they are schooling in lockdown. We pray that you will be with them. We pray that you encourage them. We pray that you will motivate them to keep moving. We pray for their teachers who are trying to teach in lockdown. We pray for strength, we pray for wisdom, we pray for empathy. God, we pray for small business owners who are unable to open their doors right now. We pray that you will find a way for them to continue to provide their business. God, we pray for people who are essential workers right now, going to work every day to keep things turning. We pray, God, that you will keep them safe. We thank you, God, for doctors, nurses, receptionists, garbage men, cleaners, teachers, retail staff, hospitality staff. We thank you for all that they do for our community. Father God, we pray for our church now. We pray for our leaders, our pastor, our members. We pray, God, that you'll help each and every one of us to continue to grow in our journey with you. Help us to know you. Help us to seek you. Help us to wrestle with you. Help us to engage with what you have to say. God, we ask that we might know your will and that we might act upon it. Thank you, God, for all that you've given us. Amen.
Thank you, Barbara. I'm really excited right now. We have something very special and something that is brand new for us as a church. We are taking Brook Kids online. That's right. So I'm going to invite Drew to come and introduce to us what is going on.
Well, good morning, Brook Kids friends. From all your Brook Kids leaders, we hope you're going okay and know that we miss so much your friendly faces at Brook Kids. We're praying for you all and for your families. The wonderful thing is that Jesus is with us wherever we are, and he loves us so much. He's ready to help us so we can help others around us. You know, sometimes it's really hard when life changes so much and so quickly. But it also means that we get to try new and different things because we have to. So this morning, while we're all gathering online together, thanks to the organization Compassion, we're actually going to join in with a kids' talk from Colin Buchanan. We're going to hear about God through his word, the Bible. Colin's going to share with us a song, and he's going to lead us in prayer as well. So we can continue to grow in our faith and trust in Jesus together, even though we're all in our own homes. And because we're doing church all together, grown-ups and kids, boys and girls, young and old, we're all in it together. You know, the grown-ups who don't usually get to come to Brook Kids will be able to join in this video as well. And you know what, kids? Just between you and me, I reckon the adults are going to enjoy this video just as much as you will. Over to you, Colin.
G'day, I'm Colin. I wonder if you know, what are some big things? Big things. I was looking outside before, there were big trees. Maybe you can see some big buildings. What else? What's that? River, big river. And rivers flow down to the sea, and the sea is big. I wonder who is big? There are some big people, but I can think of a song, and maybe you can too. My God is so big. That's your bit. So strong and so mighty, there's nothing my God cannot do. That's true. My God is so big. So strong and so mighty, there's nothing my God cannot do. That's true. The mountains are his, the valleys are his stars. The stars are his handiwork too. My God is so big. So strong and so mighty, there's nothing my God cannot do. That's true. It's true, you know. Now, I was thinking there are some other things that are big. Things that you can't see. Things like sickness and sadness, and badness and sin. They're big too, aren't they? But you can't see them. So you know that God is bigger than those things. He's bigger than the trees and bigger than the buildings, bigger than the rivers and the seas. And God is bigger than sickness and sadness and worry and badness. In fact, God made the world and God has the whole world in his hands. There's a song about that, but there's a Bible verse about that too. It's what the Bible teaches us. The Bible's God's word. Yes. It's in Psalm 95. For the Lord is the great God, the high King above all gods. In his hands are the depths of the earth, and the mountain peaks belong to him. God has got the whole world in his hands. He's got the whole world in his hands. He's got the whole world in his hands. He's got the whole world in his hands. Ready, mummies first. He's got all of the mummies. Mummies go, yay! In his hands, he's got all of the daddies. Yay! In his hands, he's got all of the children. Ready? Yay! In his hands, he's got the whole world in his hands. He's got all of the grandmas. Yay! In his hands, he's got all of the grandpas.
What? Is it still on?
In his hands, he's got, ready, babies. Go goo. He's got all of the babies. Goo. In his hands, he's got the whole world in his hands. He does, you know. God has the whole world in his hands, and God has a good plan. And his good plan is to bring all things together under his Son, Jesus. And there's a verse from the Bible about that too. Now, I'll put my little bookmark in here so I would find my spot. It's in the book of Colossians. And it says, for God was pleased to have all his fullness dwell in Jesus, and through Jesus to bring all things together, whether things on earth or things in heaven, by making peace through his blood on the cross. What a good plan to set all things right under Jesus. In fact, I changed the first song a little, and this is how it goes. My God is so big, so strong and so mighty. There's nothing my God cannot do. That's true. My God is so big, so strong and so mighty. There's nothing my God cannot do. That's true. Jesus died on the cross and rose from the dead, for Jesus is mighty to save. Ready? It's going to be loud. My God is so big, so strong and so mighty. There's nothing my God cannot do. That's true. It is true. You know what we should do? I'm going to pray now. Will you pray with me? Prayer's talking to God, by the way. All right, I'm going to close my eyes so I can think about talking to God. My Lord and my God, you are so big. You made the world and you take care of the world and you take care of everyone and everything in the world, and you have a plan, even though we don't always know it or see it. But we know that you've told us you will bring all things together under Jesus, that you will bring life to all who trust in him. So be with us, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Wow, how awesome was that? Thank you, Drew, and thank you to Compassion for allowing us to include that in our service. Over the next few weeks, we're probably going to hear a little bit more from Colin. Right now, we're going to continue our service with our Bible reading for today. I'm going to invite Dale Thring to come up and read 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verses 1 to 4. Thanks, Dale.
Thessalonians chapter 1, verses 1 to 4. Paul, Silas, and Timothy, to the church of the Thessalonians in our God, our Father, and the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace and peace to you from God, the Father, and the Lord Jesus Christ. We ought always to thank you, God, for you, brothers and sisters, and rightly so. Because your faith is growing more and more, and the love of all you have for one another is increasing. Therefore, among God's churches, we boast about your perseverance and faith in all the persecutions and trials you are enduring.
Thank you, Dale. Over my mini break, I must admit that I think I overindulged in my favourite foods. We couldn't go away anywhere or have any sort of real adventures, but Barbara and I decided we could eat. And can I tell you, we ate. And though may not have necessarily been the healthiest options out there, but let me tell you, they were delicious. But this got me thinking about what is it to be healthy? It can be hard to know what it takes to be healthy these days. Almost every week we hear that something is good for us and something that once was good for us is now bad for us. I don't know if we should eat gluten, not eat gluten. Truth be told, I don't even know what gluten is. Do I go low carbs? Should I load up on carbs? After all, what is an ideal healthy weight? Actually, I'm not even sure why we use weight as a measure of health. I did some Googling and statistic finding and discovered a lot of elite athletes are considered overweight or pre-obese, even to the point of being obese. And these people are incredibly fit. It can be confusing, right? Maybe we shouldn't think about health in the sense of how much we weigh, but rather the steps that we've taken in a day. But Richard reminds me that that magical 10,000 step mark was actually a random number. Again, I did some more research and I found out that Richard was accurate, and I should have known because it was Richard. The 10,000 step mark was a promotional idea that a company in Japan who were first promoting pedometers. Their promotion idea, a 10,000 step, that marketing tool for their device is sort of stuck. And it's become the measure that a lot of the world uses as their daily step target. Now, they've done more research and it's shown to be true that those 10,000 steps do benefit you. But back then it was just a gimmick. Knowing what is healthy can be a bit of a challenge at times. It's just as challenging to know what a healthy church looks like. For some, a healthy church is measured by the beauty of their building. Or maybe they'll measure it by the quality and style of their music. Other churches measure health by the personality or lack thereof of their preacher, their relatability of their leadership team. Some churches measure health by the sign and the number of peoples sitting in the pews. But Paul's letters to the Thessalonians frame a healthy, good church differently. Look, we know that numbers are not the tool that we should necessarily use to measure health. I'm not saying that the number of people coming to church doesn't matter, but what Paul points out to us is spiritual growth is the most important thing. If these thousands of people come to church and don't grow, then they don't really mean anything. In Thessalonians, Paul wrote to them about their spiritual growth and encouraged them on how to accomplish that. And we've just looked through that recently. And now Paul has gotten this chance to brag about this church because they followed what he told them to do. The truth is, we can't use a formula to measure spiritual growth. But spiritual growth is essential. But then we can't really make spiritual growth happen any more than I can make a seed that I plant in the ground grow. But we can do lots of different things to encourage it. We encourage spiritual growth by wrestling with God's word. We do it here on our service online or when we meet face to face. But we can take that wrestling and we can take it another step further. We can say, hey, join one of the church's small or connect groups. They'll help you explore God's word even more. We can take it even a step further than that, and we can encourage spiritual growth by picking up a devotional guide and spending time studying God's word on our own. Although we're still guided by someone. The first thing we need to do if we want to encourage spiritual growth is read God's word. If faith is like a seed, then God's word is like fertilizer. It encourages growth. If God's word's like fertilizer, then I think prayer is the water that our faith needs. Often we talk about how much we value prayer, but I found that people seldom do. Have you ever tried to have a relationship without talking to another person? I tried to do that once with Barbara. It didn't last very long and I got into quite a bit of trouble. But as I was not talking to her, I discovered that I wanted to tell her what was going on for me. Look, I'm sure we all have friends who we no longer really connect with. Something has happened along the way. We stopped talking to each other for one reason or another. And these friends have drifted away from our circles. But the more we spend talking to our friends, the more they seem to be drawn into us. And that's what prayer is, talking to God. The more we talk to God, the more we're drawn into his character, his presence. So we encourage spiritual growth by spending time talking to God, whispering to God, shouting to God, times when we simply are crying out to him in fear and anxiety, and times when we are giving him thanks. So we have reading God's word, we have prayer, but there's another thing we can do to encourage faith growth. And that's simply interacting with other believers. Scriptures constantly talks about how believers have responsibilities. Iron sharpens iron, but also to be a positive influence on other believers. I was thinking about spiritual growth and I realized that it's all dependent on the individual. If you want to grow, you need to put in the time. If we want to grow, we need to read the Bible, we need to pray, and we need to serve one another. But most importantly, we're not doing this because we want to get a ticket to heaven, but because we are motivated by love. This is how we can see the health of a church. Paul writes it here in this passage. Look at that verse 3. We ought always to thank God for you, brothers and sisters, and rightly so, because your faith is growing more and more, and the love of all of you have for one another is increasing. A healthy church is a church that is motivated by the love that we have for each other. So let me ask you a question. Is that our church? I'm not sure what you answered because this is a video. But if it isn't, it should be. One of the things that I think is implied in the word, the Greek word church, that ecclesia, means that we are called out. We're set aside to be different, to live a different kind of life, to see the world differently. Think about the world for a second. What does the world encourage us mindset to be? It encourages us to think that we are the most important person. Like we're the main character in a story. Everyone else is just a sub-character. We're told that our needs are more important than anyone else's. That's what the world says. Now, listen to what Jesus says. Listen to how Jesus paints it differently. In John 34, a new command I give to you, love one another as I have loved you. So you must love one another. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples, if you love one another. See, loving one another is about putting someone else before you. So if the world's saying, you're the most important person, Jesus says, loving others is more important. We're called to be loving. We're called to be different. But let's take that one step further. In 1 Corinthians, we're told exactly what love looks like. If you've been to a wedding, you probably have heard this passage before. This is what we're told. Love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. It's not proud. It doesn't dishonor others. It's not self-seeking. It's not easily angered.
It keeps no records of wrong. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. Love never fails. If we model our lives on trying to grow in our faith, of loving people, when it comes to hard times, when it comes to challenges, we have a solid foundation to stand on. Remember, Paul is writing to these Thessalonians, and this church is undergoing a persecution. It's being physically attacked. The encouragement to endure means to keep going and to stand up under the weight of it. And this would have special meaning, to endure hard times. It's a message to us today that we too should endure hard times, because we are seeking to grow in our faith and to love one another. So how is it possible to stand in hard times? Well, we stand because we believe God works in all things for his good. We don't panic. We wait. We watch. We look with anticipation for what God is going to do. The more we grow, the more we reveal our faith in those challenging moments and times of our life. When things are going bad, people often ask, how do we remain calm and positive? And the answer is, well, because I really believe that the message of the gospel is true. I believe God is sovereign and has a purpose for everything. And that's what spiritual growth produces. When we face adversity, some people get turned bitter. But the Bible is full of people who could have been victims. But because of their faith, they became victors. There's something to be said, isn't there, for a persistent attitude that says, I won't give up, I won't quit. I'm not going to give up or give in. 1 commentator wrote this: the most valuable Christians are not those who make the most significant impact in joining or leaving a church, but the quiet members who stand in hard times. And that's what love looks like. So what are we meant to do with this? What are we supposed to learn? And I think the first thing we are called to do is make sure that we're evaluating our lives. Is your faith growing? What priority does the Lord really have in your life? If people judge the depth of your faith, not by your words, but by the way that you live, what would they conclude? How hard are you working at loving others? Are you trying to build bridge with peoples that you find challenging? What are we doing to introduce our non-Christian friends to this message of eternal life? So the first thing we need to do is evaluate ourselves. The second thing we need to do is we need to be as a church and ask, as people look at us, what do they see? Do they see Jesus having an impact on us as our community? Do they see our love for one another as we serve the congregation for the Lord? How are we operating? Is this a business? Or a place where we reach out to those who are hurting?
How are we reaching out to non-Christian people around us? And I know at this particular time it can be hard. But when we meet together again, and if a stranger sits down, are they going to feel welcome in our midst? Or are they going to feel condemned? Would we embrace them or would we ignore them? Are we willing to continue to be faithful no matter what? No matter what happens in the future? Paul uses this phrase that he is boasting about this church. Is our church worth boasting about? Well, the answer to that is found in if we're growing spiritually, if our love for one another is increasing. And that's the question for us to ask of ourselves and of each other. Let's pray. Father God, we want to thank you for what you do. How you are the rock in the storm of life. Lord, we're called to plant our foundation on you, to continue to seek after you, to grow in your image. So, Father, we pray that we might be those people. Father, we pray for our town. We pray for all the other brothers and sisters and churches who are like us, can't meet at the moment. We pray that you would bless them and awaken in them love and spiritual growth. We pray for our community, those who do not yet know you, and we ask that you might help us to be those bridges. So, Father, we ask that you would take us and use us for your pleasure and goodwill. And we ask this in your Son's name. Amen. Well, thank you for joining with us today. We hope and we pray that wherever you are, you continue to stay safe, well, and healthy. Until next time, goodbye.